Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We like hanging out with you, that's for sure. Folks, we got a fairly new website. It's www.theunionedge.com. You can download a free app for your iPhone or your Android on the site, or you can check out the really cool swag that we have there, too, and we appreciate that. This program is sponsored by the Pennsylvania and the West Virginia AFL-CIO, and we appreciate their support. Speaking of the West Virginia AFL-CIO, we've got Stacey Ruckel. She's the public affairs guru for the West Virginia AFL-CIO. Stacey, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. What are you guys up to right now?
Well, our legislative session just kicked off yesterday with the governor's State of the State address. So we're sort of bracing ourselves with whatever's going to come for the next 60 days. And it ought to be interesting. I think the main thing that the legislature has to deal with is a huge budget deficit. And right now there's some disagreement between the governor and the Republican majority as to how to deal with that. But he had a pretty interesting speech last night, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Stacey, let me ask you a question. The West Virginia House and Senate, just how big of a difference between Dems and Republicans is there?
Well, let's see here. The Democrats have the Republicans have a majority by I believe it's a I'll have to double check the numbers on that one.
Is it a fairly substantial?
It is.
Okay.
It is. They have a supermajority in both houses,
okay,
and they only need a simple majority to override the governor's veto.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. This is a state where you guys are really in the need. You guys really need to raise some capital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we know that the easy coal, for the most part, has been pulled out of the ground.
Right.
And it's getting harder and harder. And quite frankly, our friends within that have been working in the mines, less and less are required because of automation and machinery and equipment, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the West Virginia House and Senate just put through, and the governor signed, right to work for less legislation.
Mm-hmm.
That means that there's less people working. That means the people that are working for less money, which means that there's less wages that the state government can collect taxes from, and therefore there's less money to fix potholes. There's less money for cops, firemen, paramedics, and other services that the state provides. Why on God's green earth did your representatives in the House and the Senate decide, oh, well, we're really just going to throw a monkey wrench in the works, and we're going to bring in right to work for less?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it seems like the interests that were being catered to were out-of-state corporate interests. They're the only ones that benefit from this, from things like right to work, obviously, because it does, in the end, lower wages, and that's going to lower tax revenue. That's going to lower the money that's going into local economies. So really, that the only explanation is catering to business interests that don't have a concern for the everyday working West Virginian, and that's been unfortunate. Luckily, our governor is not in favor of that, and at the moment, right to work is on hold in West Virginia because back in the summer, we and a number of other unions filed a lawsuit in circuit court challenging that law, and the judge issued a temporary injunction, so that still has not taken effect yet. As a matter of fact, we have another hearing on the matter tomorrow morning. So.
But I mean, you still have had legislators in both houses pushing for this, voting for this, and going to that direction. And it is clearly something that is detrimental to the amount of money that people can earn in West Virginia.
That's right. And that hurts the entire state's bottom line. It doesn't make sense, but it does if you think of it in terms of big business interest, and that seems to be all that was driving the majority up to this point. They don't seem to be concerned about the fact that right to work lowers wages, makes workplaces less safe. And you know, we know that the public doesn't like measures that make workplaces less safe and lower wages, and they do like unions, but it's just hard to explain to people, okay, this thing that's become known as right to work doesn't have anything to do with the right to work.
Right. And it's a lie, and it's been quote unquote fake news for decades.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
You know, so you know, it's amazing to me. I'm sure you also saw the latest poll from Pew talking about labor unions and the approval rate amongst Americans, upwards of 70% across the spectrum. 44% of our Republican friends approve of unions. My God. But the big one was the 18 to 29-year-olds, where it was like 74% of that population are approving of unions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a wonderful thing. How do we exploit that?
Well, yeah, we have to continue talking to people about it. We're working hard to do that. And here in West Virginia, I think, you know, there's been some talk about further legislation to try and get at unions, for instance, the paycheck deception legislation. And I think the emphasis here will be, you know, what is the legislature doing to create jobs? What are they doing to improve wages and create good-paying jobs? And pointing out that the kind of legislation like right to work and paycheck deception only damages unions. And I think that more and more that's resonating with people. But it's something that we have to keep working at. It's just a constant. Unfortunately, it's a big public relations battle, and as you know, with social media and everything else, there's all kinds of people saying all kinds of wild and random things that you have to sort of fight back against.
Right, exactly. You know, and quite honestly, if the average West Virginian knew that it's labor unions that are the ones that are leading the fight against wage theft, it's labor unions that are leading the fight to raise the minimum wage in the state and keep health care and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm thinking that maybe there would be a difference in attitudes towards the labor in West Virginia.
Yeah, definitely agreed.
How do we get there?
Well, we keep, you know... We're constantly working on opinion columns and getting word out on social media, and we need to talk more to younger people, and that's something that we're working on here is reaching out to our younger members for them to do their own sort of outreach in communities, including universities and colleges and mm-hmm. areas where there's a concentration of younger people. And like you said, there's an openness to our issues, and they see the value in what labor unions provide, and we just have to keep building on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and you know, I'll be honest with you. If there is anything at all that we can do to help you guys do it, I know it's a difficult thing. You're fighting oftentimes an uphill fight, and you're fighting against 30 years of negative press from businesses and banks and politicians and so on and so forth. So, but you know, if there's anything that we could do to help you, you let us know, and we'll be there for you. Okay.
I appreciate it very much.
Not a problem at all. That's what we do. Hey, listen, Stacy, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and we'll talk some more. Okay.
Okay.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The fallout also includes $1.2 billion in new uncompensated care, 114,000 lost jobs, and $2.7 billion in lost income for hospitals and physicians. In Illinois, 260,000 people receive subsidies to help pay for their coverage, and the report says repeal would cost each of them over $4,300 in 2019. Linda DeLaForge of Citizen Action Illinois thinks without a good replacement plan, a repeal is irresponsible and dangerous.
When people can get medical care at the front end, then we prevent a lot of catastrophic illness at the back end. And so the whole system is benefited through this, not to mention all of the lives that are saved when people have access to health care at the front end.
The report says Illinois' Medicare enrollees have lower prescription drug costs thanks to the ACA, and eliminating those could cost each around $1,000. Both the House and the Senate have voted to move forward on ACA repeal through the budget process. President Trump calls it a disaster and vowed to immediately repeal it during his campaign. I'm Veronica Carter reporting.
The order, signed January 30th, requires federal agencies to eliminate two existing regulations for every new one enacted. New regulations must have a net cost of $0 in the current fiscal year without considering the value of benefits to public health and safety. According to Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen, that would require agencies to violate existing law governing the regulatory process as well as the Administrative Procedure Act.
The Administrative Procedure Act says they are not permitted to engage in decisions that are arbitrary and capricious. This executive order requires them to take into account irrational factors, things that exactly fit that definition.
Supporters of the order say it will clear away unnecessary regulations that hamper the growth of small businesses and cripple the economy. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Governor Jim Justice wants to raise $450 million in new revenue, with about half of that coming from increased business taxes. But his plan faces a GOP-controlled legislature, especially on the House side, dominated by opponents of government spending. Ted Bettner with the Center on Budget and Policy says reaching balance through just cuts would hurt government programs necessary for economic growth.
If West Virginia doesn't raise substantial revenue to close its $600 million budget gap, schools will see a huge decrease in funding, as will our public colleges, our health care, our senior centers.
House of Delegates Speaker Tim Armstead says West Virginians already are taxed too much, although he may be open to closing some sales tax exemptions. For his part, Justice has said the state can't cut its way out of the crisis. Dan Hyman reporting.
We are the BCTGM, the union representing bakery workers. We have been joining forces with our members and thousands of community partners across America to end corporate exploitation of workers across the globe. Our campaign has its roots with the Mondelez Nabisco's firing of 600 workers at its Chicago bakery and replacing them with workers earning poverty wages in Mexico. College and university student activists have reached out to our global campaign, and the BCTGM is proud to welcome the more than 20 million students across America as partners in defeating this greed-based business model. Student voices have changed the world, and these future community and national leaders will add energy and heightened spirit to the BCTGM's consumer boycott of Mexican-made Nabisco products. Join the fight. Help change the world. Invite the Nabisco 600 team to your campus by visiting fightforamericanjobs.org. Follow us on Facebook at Nabisco 600 BCTGM Local 300.
It was 1973. Helen Reddy's song, I Am Woman, was at the top of the charts. The feminist movement was in full swing. A group of Boston women office workers started talking about how they were treated at work, how men made more money for the same jobs, how they couldn't take time off to care for their kids without putting their jobs at risk. They were feisty, empowered, and fed up. They founded 9to5, a membership organization of women working in low-wage jobs, inspiring a national hit song and movie. Whether it's fighting for better leave policies, for equal pay for equal work, to ban the box, or strengthen the safety net, 9to5 is on the front lines of putting our issues on the public agenda, and they're winning big. Find out more about how they're raising the bar at www.9to5.org. That's the number 9, T-O, number 5, .org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the wonderful things that you're doing for the community, that's for sure. You know, folks, more and more today, we're seeing people stand up in Washington, D.C., in their local communities, and it's a really, really great thing. Right now, we're talking with our friends from the West Virginia AFL-CIO. Stacy Ruckel, welcome back.
No, thank you.
Stacy, we appreciate all the stuff that you guys are doing. It's difficult, but it's got to be done. And it's to benefit not just the union members in the community, but everybody.
Absolutely. I mean, when unions are strong in a state, the average income is higher, the middle class does better. It's just that's how it goes. It brings up wages for everybody.
Now, I can understand, you know, why the bosses don't want to do that, even though, quite honestly, the difference, you know, between, you know, $15 an hour and $16.75 an hour is really not that much. But, you know, I'm sorry, in this country, $8 an hour, $7.25 an hour is not going to get it anywhere at all.
That's right. I mean, you know, without good pay and benefits, you're just, it brings everybody down. It's not going to, communities aren't going to benefit. The economy is not going to benefit. And, you know, obviously it's fair wages. It just, that it's a simple issue of fairness, and I think most people, as we talked about the perception of people in the country, they see that and they understand that and appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to assume that you guys statewide, not the AFL-CIO itself, but unions statewide, are still organizing, yeah?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, and you know, you're bringing new members into the family every year, right?
Yes, we are, although I don't have numbers on that in front of me. But yeah.
Well, I mean, you're like everybody else. I mean, even Mississippi's growing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is an important thing. Where is the AFL-CIO's message received the best?
You know, obviously we're still very strong in, despite declines in the coal industry, very well received and respected among coal miners in southern West Virginia. We still have a strong number of steel workers in northern West Virginia, and mines in central. We have just different segments, and, you know, West Virginia is a pretty geographically diverse area state.
Mm-hmm.
And, so there's a lot of different industries that have unions and respect unions.
There you go. Do you have a game plan on how you guys are going to continue to organize this year, how you're going to continue to grow?
Well, I'm afraid that might be a question for our new president. But I do think, you know, our first agenda is getting through this legislative session and making sure that working people's best interests are looked after and not further damaged as they have been the last 2 years by the legislature. So our focus will be that through mid-April. The legislature has a $500 million deficit they're dealing with this year and a $700 million shortfall the following year. Luckily, our governor is really thinking outside the box. He's talking about all kinds of investments, raised somewhere between $1.4 billion and $2.8 billion by selling bonds for highway and transportation projects, which, of course, is great for the unions and for working West Virginians, and could create some 48,000 jobs. So that's the good part of it, because he's wanting to do these things, but he's also talking about raising taxes, which the Republicans are very much opposed for. I mean, he's talking about a 0.5% sales tax increase, 0.2% gross receipts tax on business. Those are things that I mean, obviously in the short term, businesses aren't going to like, but it's not a huge increase, and the benefit down the road by being able to invest in infrastructure, give teachers a 2% raise, which isn't a lot, but you know, again, you know, education is so critical to the state as a whole, the economy as a whole, that that hopefully that the legislature will support him on that. So those are the things we want to make sure. We want to support the governor and try and help legislators see the long-term benefit of what's going to be a painful couple of years here just trying to resolve the deficit. So,
yeah, you know, infrastructure jobs are good jobs, and mm-hmm. and the nice thing about it is it takes a while to do 100 miles worth of road, so and there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of professionals out there getting the job done, and you know the collateral benefits for those good paying highway infrastructure jobs is just, you know, the car dealerships are going to sell trucks. Movie theaters are going to have people going, you know, out to dinner in the movies and stuff like that. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yes, and in the longer term, hopefully, you know, you're attracting more businesses. We do have an infrastructure problem here. If we can address that, then that's going to make it that much more attractive for businesses to come here. And then you've got permanent jobs. And of course, we'll be working to make sure that those are union jobs.
Right. And let me ask you this. You know, in lieu of some of the coal jobs that are out there in those communities, is it possible to bring in some manufacturing to those communities?
There is, especially surrounding, you know, there's the oil and gas industry. There's the market's fluctuating, but there's a lot of potential there. There's been a lot going on. And then there's all kinds of manufacturing of equipment related to that. We're open to hopefully a lot of different industries, and I know that our governor is a forward-thinking guy. He's very creative, and we're hopeful that he's even talked about the furniture industry is something he's hoping to develop more here. So there's a lot of different avenues to look at, and I'm hoping that he's a fresh new voice here.
No, there you go. So hopefully those wonderful things will happen, and you can get some good, solid jobs coming back into West Virginia. Any final words for us today, Stacey?
We appreciate everybody keeping up on what's going on here in West Virginia and providing support. You can find out more about what we're doing at our website is www.wvaflcio.org, and you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Fantastic. We appreciate that. And we look forward to talking to you again here very soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. You know, folks, I got to tell you, these politicians jump up and down and rant and rave and say, oh, we have to bring in paycheck deception. Oh, we have to bring in right to work for less and all these kinds of other things. That thinking that, oh, this is just going to hurt the unions, it's only going to damage them, and maybe then they'll vote for us. Really? You think you mess with my job and you mess with my paycheck, and then I'm going to come vote for you? Or do you think that, once the guy that has a car dealership that's not going to I'm not going to buy a car from because you mess with my paycheck, realizes what you've done. You mess with my paycheck. I don't buy a car. He doesn't get a paycheck. Once he figures that out, do you think he's going to vote for you? I don't know. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio.